Let's look at what Paul says. He says, first of all, we're in the Spirit, and that's verses 1 through 3, and we look at the nature of supernatural gifts. Notice he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, by the way, one word in the Greek, brothers, and this is again to all believers. This is, you could say this was to the Corinthian church, but it's also to us. I do not want you to be uninformed, that is, lack knowledge. This word, pneumatikos. Pneuma is the short form for the word spirit. That is a supernatural spirit. That is, you go through and you read the scriptures and you see that all good and perfect gifts come from above. He's talking here about a spiritual, supernatural gift, the pneuma, or the Holy Spirit. And this tikos is how the Greeks identified exactly what type of spirit is a spiritual element is going on in the text. So here we have, pertaining to, or being derived from, or about the Spirit. So the issue of the gifts is not worldly. The issue of the gift is spiritual. It is that which is not of man. And one of my favorite golfers of all time is Jack Nicklaus. That was when he was in his prime. Very talented. One of the top golfers in the world ever. You got guys like Ben Hogan, I realize, and some others. Very talented. Then you've got, who can leave out, Michael Jordan. Probably one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. I don't know how he gets that high. But he did. Great basketball player. One of the best ever. Then you get many of you older guys, been in baseball a while, you know who that is? You guys don't know who that is? Seriously. Come on, Harry, you know this one. No? You don't know who that is? No, it's not Bonds. Joe, I know you know it. That's Rob Carew. Rob Carew. He's an HOF, Hall of Famer. One of the purest hitters I've ever seen as a kid growing up. Still. He could crush the ball. He wasn't a home run hitter, but boy, he was pesky. Let me tell you something. Seriously, he was pesky. When he came up to the plate, I think he was a 330 lifetime hitter. It's unbelievable. Guess what? None of these are spiritual gifts. A lot of Christians make the mistake of thinking that this is spiritual gifts. These are what are called natural abilities. Things that you may be good at. You know, hate to break all your girls' hearts, but Debo. Sorry, that's just natural ability. Now, God can use those natural abilities to be a witness. That's for sure. We know that. Tim Tebow, the quarterback of the, it's still Denver Broncos, right?
Jets.
The Jets now. Okay, thank you. He prays during the game and they make fun of him. That can be a witness, but I don't think it's a spiritual gift. And the issue is on spiritual gift, the question that has to be answered is this. Does it glorify the body of Christ? That is it used in a ministry context? It can be, but overall, these are not, you won't go in there and say, I'll tell you that golfing, those of you that golf, golf. Those of you that play basketball, play basketball. Those of you that play baseball, play baseball. Glorify God. You can do that, but it's not a spiritual gift. Let's make the distinction. Here the issue is, the nature of it, is that these spiritual gifts come from God through Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit to the believer. That's the nature. And while these are good and they're natural gifts, I think those are, a lot of us are naturally gifted at a lot of things. The question is, does it glorify the church and is it used in the church to strengthen the body of Christ? That's what qualifies a spiritual gift. We'll get into that just a little bit later. But now there's a contrast here. Notice that we're in the Spirit. I think this is the dividing mark right here. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, it's a dividing mark as to what is natural and what is spiritual. So here we go. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to moot idols. And that means not able to speak. And I think there's an issue here going on, particularly in chapters 14 and on, about the spiritual talking gifts. And so Paul wants to make it very clear, very early, that there is a contrast between the pneumos gifts and the world gets. Because in the past, and he does bring up their past here, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by moot idols. However you were led. Big deal back then with fertility gods. And the Greek word here, which refers to idols, is an object which resembles a person, animal, god, etc., and which is an object of worship. I'm a huge baseball fan. You guys know I like the Dodgers. You know, you can worship sports stars. They can become your god, in a sense. Football. I love football, too, and I'll watch the Super Bowl and do all that stuff, but we can make images. Hannah Montana, that's probably old school, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's out there today that the kids are listening to. Maybe not, okay, that's good. But you can make them images and worship them in a sense. Matter of fact, I saw recently, I was scanning through the TV and I saw this concert that was going on. And you know what everybody was doing in the audience? They looked like praise and worship. So we have to be careful about that. This was the past life. It shows that they did have a past, that they had a belief system. This was the belief system. They believed in these gods that could not talk, that could not do anything for them. Which, by the way, hours and hours and hours of blogging to try to meet a superstar, to me, is a waste of time. That time could be spent a lot better. Yes, and I'm a big Braves fan. You guys know it. And I like the team, but at the end of the day, it's just not worth it. And I grew. I'm going to tell you something. Aubrey and I first got married, and I had to learn this. I really did. When my wife and I first got married, and we were over in Hawaii, football started about 10, well, it was actually, I want to say it was like 6 in the morning. For a long time, my excuse was, well, honey, if I go to church, how am I going to watch football? I bet she responded something like, that's why they have VCRs. And I was out of church for a while. When football season rolled around, I was out of it. Well, I understand the error of that now. By the way, when football season does start, which is in September, I think, and I think college starts pretty soon. Well, it's college we don't have to worry about since Saturday. But I'm going to make this promise to every man in the church. If you'll come to church, you'll be home in time to see the Bears start their kickoff. I usually get out of here at 11:40 anyway. So I don't think the Bears start at 11:40. You got to be careful about this. And Paul says there's a clear contrast here. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking, here's another qualitative statement, at least in the Greek. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit ever says Jesus is accursed. And that is, they had trouble with false teachers in this church. That was a big deal. So when these guys would come out, the qualifying question would be, is this person indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit or not? The PBS, they have all these little shows on. These guys are saying great things. And you say, well, these people don't have the Spirit. They're not saved. Well, I spend my time there. They don't know Christ. They may have some good ideas and good thoughts and good ideologies and all of those things. I just recently, by the way, I'm going to make some of you mad when I say this. You know, we've had a lot of presidents that have put a lot of stock in this letter. I'm thinking of George W. Bush. Thinking of a meeting that just took place with President Obama. When the world looks at this guy, what do they think? Spiritual. This guy has absolutely nothing to offer in the way of spiritual growth. You know why? He's not saved. He He doesn't have Christ. I heard George Bush this week talking about how wonderful he was. It was in an interview. I was shocked. I was like, are you serious? He's incompatible with everything that we believe as Christians. All roads do not go to heaven. Only the road that went through the cross gets in. And so, yeah, a nice guy probably. He needs to know Christ. And Paul says, this is how it was with you. And the way that you determine whether somebody is in the Spirit or not is to find out if they possess the Holy Spirit, who gives these supernatural gifts, who then preach those gifts or use those gifts within the body of Christ. And if they don't have the Spirit, then they're not of God. It's simple. Watch when he was right. He's either of God or it's not. That's pretty much true. And so we have to be careful. Now this Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. Notice the pastor doesn't give them. The deacons don't give them. We don't give these gifts. By the way, that's why I'm very proud of this church, because I just passed this around. We're 22 or 21 people down, and we've already got more than that, so we only need 3. And I know if I told you that, that you guys would come out of the woodwork. And you did, and I'm proud of you. And I know by next week we may have enough that people will only have to do it once every 3 months. The Holy Spirit distributes it. These gifts. Now, I had to break this down because I had to go like 2 different directions here. First of all, he speaks about the variety in 4a, 5a, and 6a. And this is diersis, which is variety, meaning different kinds. And the first one is the gifts. You'll notice he says, but now there, and I'm going to read it, we can read it, look at it. Now there are a variety of gifts, of charisma, gracious gifts. Since we all start with the grace of God, probably this is where it starts. It's a charisma. That is, it's supernatural, but it's a gracious gift. By the way, none of us in this room, including myself, and probably more including myself, none of us can take credit for the spiritual gifts that we have. Now let me tell you, I would not, if you would have told me back in 1980, 79, that you would be standing up in front of people speaking, I'd go, but I saw over time how God developed that gift. He put me in situations where I had to get up in front of people. When I got promoted in the Army, they started sending me to leadership school. And in those leadership schools, I had to get up in front of people. One time in Germany, I had to go with 10 other sergeants in all of Europe. 10 other sergeants, I think that's right. You know, you get older, you start forgetting numbers. But there wasn't many of us. And we went to the school to learn how to welcome the Humvee. Actually, I was one of the inspectors and ones that licensed everybody in our whole battalion on the Humvee. It was being introduced into Germany. So my battalion commander said, we want Sergeant Frazier to go do that. So I did it. I did get an ARCOM out of it, Army Commendation Medal from the battalion commander. But that being said, I had to get up in the front of, and by the way, similar to a PowerPoint, I had to get up in a room of about 250 officers from the entire battalion. And I had to give them a briefing on the Humvee. So that every officer in the whole unit, and the whole, or not the whole division, but the whole battalion would know. And I started thinking, when God called me into ministry, He was prepping me all along. Now you may have a gift out there, charisma, that you may not have right now, but God may very well develop later in your life. Don't close the door to not using your spiritual gifts, is what I'm saying. Because God can very well, He can change those gifts. He has that right. But we have, our only obligation is when God gives it to us to develop it. And be willing. When the Army chaplain started using me to go out and fill our Lord's little black robe thing, and I would go out and preach to the troops out in the field. That coffee was outstanding. Service. Diakono, which is from the Greek word deacon, but it means ministry positions. So God gives the gifts, and he puts them in service of his church. That's where the distinction comes from natural abilities and spiritual gifts. To use your natural ability in the world, you can still reach people with the gospel. I understand that. I'm not saying that. But spiritual gifts are particularly important for the body of Christ. It's to be used. Third, activities. Energema, or energy is where it gets our words. Acts or deeds. This is how you just don't get the gift and then just say, okay, I'm not going to use it. It takes work. You actually have to employ the gift. So you have charisma, grace, gracious gifts that are given by God to be used in ministry service, and they are to be done with action or deed. In other words, you've got to use the gift that God has given. If you're a believer here today, let me say this just honestly and straightforward. If you're a believer today, you have a gift. You've already been given one gift. You know what that was? Salvation. So the whole Christian life, if the Christian life begins with grace, it's going to go all the way through these gifts, which are supernatural. You have a gift. You need to be using it. And then secondly, he talks about the Trinity. Now this is counter to 4A is 4B, 5A, 5B, 6A, 6B. You'll notice as we read it through here. I'm going to say something else after I go through this, but watch this. Now there are a variety of gifts. We've learned about that. There's charisma. But the same Spirit. That capital letter is the Holy Spirit. Notice how this works. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. Who's that? That's Christos, Jesus Christ. So you have the Holy Spirit, you have Christos, Jesus, Lord, Savior, and then you have, there are a variety of activities, but the same God. Guess who's involved in these gifts? It's the Trinity. And it works through. Let me say this, because I didn't want to get too far ahead. Do you know, and I understand why we do it, but when you get to the next point, you'll understand why I say this. Have you taken those spiritual gifts inventories? Oh, they're like 58 pages long. You go through and you fill out, I want to find my gifts. There's nowhere in the New Testament where you ever find it. Paul didn't say, here, fill out this gift, or fill out this, and we'll see where you fit. They didn't have that. You know, they were back in the beginnings. Spiritual gifts are revealed. And back in the day, Paul, he wrote and assumed that you knew your spiritual gift. That's true. There's nowhere in here where it says, okay, you know, you need to take this test and then you get it right. I've kind of gotten away from those spiritual gifts tests because I think that the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you and the church can reveal it to you what you're getting. They had a sense of community back then. But the fact is you have to use the gifts. So how should you go to this now? And we see that the Trinity is involved. This is a good way to summarize 4, 5, and 6, at least in my thought, because I have to have groups in my head so I get straight. But the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts so that individuals can serve the Lord and His body, which are empowered by God, to carry the work of ministry out. It's a good way to see the flow here. It starts from the Holy Spirit. It is for glorifying Jesus Christ, not glorifying self. And it is empowered. And I know some of you work really hard in this church. And I honestly hear you when you go, Pastor. you know, I know you try to juggle plates. I know you, you know, you do this and you get burned out. I would say this, the fastest way to recharge your batteries is just ask God to give you some energy. To Him. By the way, usually when we will surrender to Him and say, God, if you'll empower me, I'll do this. He will. He will. These are supernatural gifts. It's not worldly talent or anything like that. These are given by the Holy Spirit. I think it's good if we recognize God as the giver of gifts. Matter of fact, God is the giver of everything. You realize that, right? Everything that we have, our homes, our jobs, anything that you do know that's not ours, right? That was given. And God can take that back anytime He wants. And I think it's good for all of us, and myself included. I'm preaching to myself too. Start by saying, okay, everything that I have is God's. That's a great place to start. Because I think at that point, you're humble enough to realize that everything that I have, everything that I've been given, is from God. Therefore, I will use it to glorify Him. It's hard to do sometimes, I realize that, because we think we're so intelligent and talented. I can tell you stuff, pastors will say, just make them fall off the chair, unbelievable. I really have heard pastors say stuff about themselves that just really, maybe almost literally fall out of my chair. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? I heard a joke one time, I'll share it right now, but, pastor's laying in bed one Sunday morning. His wife comes in. He goes, hey, you better get up. They're going to get you to church. So he got up and he went to church and he preached his sermon. It was powerful. Goes outside, shakes everybody's hand. You know that guy who's sitting in the back there shaking your hand. Everybody says that's powerful. You know, and I preach it, or he preached it and went outside. He gets in the car with his wife, and he goes, what do you think? He's driving. He says, what do you think of my sermon this morning? Wasn't it great? Wasn't it powerful? She goes, well, not really. And she says, by the way, there's one less great preacher in the world than you think there is. It can happen to pastors thinking that there's something. Listen, I'm going to tell you honestly from my heart, I am nothing apart from Jesus. Absolutely nothing. And the way I was raised, if you saw my life prior military, prior God, you would see that there was a transformation that I did not do. And I'm still very dependent on God for everything. And I think that's a good attitude. So the question is, how should this change our view of ministry? Our dependency on God is for everything. And if your batteries are running low this morning, let me encourage you, just ask God for the added energy to do that ministry. Keep doing it. Stay with it. Lastly, all of this being in the Spirit and the Spirit giving these gifts out is to help us in ministry. By the way, if you're a believer here today, you have a gift. Matter of fact, Paul says it right here, verse 7. To each. You know what the Greek word for each is? One of many. You are one of many in this room. Each person, each believer has a gift. You have a gift. You have a supernatural, spiritual, if you want to put it that way, you have a gift that God gave you. If you're a believer. I don't know how many gifts. Some have more than others. I don't know, as the Holy Spirit puts it out. But this Spirit is for the common good that is beneficial for a support system. First of all, just remember, every believer has a gift, and the Spirit will let us know what our gift is. Notice the... Did I put that up here? Yes, I did. Phanerosis. Manifestation. Now, Here, Timothy, pass this out to the people in Ephesus. Pass this out here and there. Have them fill it out. Get back with me and we'll figure out what their spiritual gifts are. Watch this. This is from the literal Greek translation. That's why I like it so much. To cause something to be fully known by revealing clearly and in some detail. Where does that come from? That comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to the individual, this is your spiritual gift. And when He revealed to me that I was supposed to go into the ministry, I thought it over, prayed about it, kind of looked back at things and thought, okay, He's calling me in the ministry, but God, I really don't want to leave the Army. I was 12 years and 8 years to go. Did not want to leave. But God made it so, so clear. In the death of a young man, a dream, and other issues that came along at that time, that if I didn't go, and this is how I feel, I could be wrong when I get to heaven and see God face to face and freak out, but I feel like I felt like that if, and this is how it sensed to me when I went through this, because I had that vision in 1984. And I told God, no. I remember. I was watching the Washington Redskins on a Sunday morning. I remember. I told God, no. Plus that, my wife said, that you know, I didn't go to church before you were pastor. So that was okay. I didn't want that vision again, and then in 1987, other things happened, 88 really started happening. I really felt, if I would have, after that young man died, and after that vision that God gave me on that Tuesday, I really felt, if I would have told him no, at that point, it was that overwhelming of a conviction in my heart. By the way, that's how you know if you've been called to ministry. These pastoral ones. Every pastor that I've talked to that's worth their soul has had this type of encounter. I felt if I would have rejected him, you know what? I would have been dead long ago. I think so. Nobody can tell me otherwise, and if I get to heaven, God says, no, you were wrong, I'd let you live on and you've been miserable the rest of your life. I sat in school, and I never forget it, Dr. Windsor's class. This man weeping and weeping and weeping. He stood up and he said, for 20 years I told God no. I would not go into the ministry. And he wept openly, loudly in class. He said, I am so sorry. The man was in his late 50s. And he'd been called by God in his mid-30s. And he said, but I'm here now. God's calling you to do something. He's going to show it to you as sure as I'm standing. And if you don't know your spiritual gift, maybe you've never even thought about this. If you don't know your spiritual gift, the fastest way to have it revealed to you is ask God to show it. He will. By the way, you have a spiritual gift. Lastly, manifestations. The purpose of these spiritual gifts, obviously, is for the common good. That is, when I get up on Sunday morning, my common good for you guys is that I impart some type of spiritual truth that may transform your life, change your marriage, change your outlook on life. That's what I shoot for, is that one aha moment where God can take that and radically turn. I had it happen to me when I was in Oklahoma. I love that pastor. I think I mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. That guy in Oklahoma that preached. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was like a little seedling, and then 3 months later, I was growing leaps and bounds under that man's ministry. See, like everything he said to me was important. That's what pastors shoot for. I love you guys. I've been here long enough to get away with stuff like this. Let me just say this. Most of the time, when people walk out, and I know you're well-intentioned and it's all good. I can only say this because I've been here for going on 5 years. But when most pastors that really care, this is what they read here. Instead of, "Pastor, that was a great message." Outstanding. It could have been, maybe, I don't know. But what pastors really want to hear is this: "Pastor, you changed my life today." And obviously the pastor didn't change his life, but the Holy Spirit used the pastor to do that. I really shoot for the aha moments, and maybe I base my success as a pastor on those aha moments, how you're able to change lives. If I didn't think God would use me to change lives, I'm not sure I'd still be here. But guess what? God can use you and your spiritual gift to change lives of people that you come in contact with. It's not just about pastoring or preaching. Okay, let's roll through this because it's very quick. That's why I combined this morning. I decided not to go clip by clip. Wisdom or Christian living, these are the gifts that are listed in 8 through 11. Knowledge or spiritual understanding. Faith, which is a trusting God, but probably greater. How many of you have met people that have had much greater faith than you? I know I have. I go, "You know, that kind of makes me sick." Because you have such trust in God, it just irritates me, please. But, okay. I know, it's fine. I was shooting for laugh, Ricky. Well, I don't know if I put smiley face to this. Healing, I think this gift probably... I'm probably leaning more of a cessationist, that is, that gift no longer exists. I think the early church needed these types of things. I'm going where I'm getting at a list. It's not the end of it. Miracles, supernatural works. I don't know. I've seen this perverted to the extent where it's really bad. But here's the rest of them. Prophecy, a word from God, maybe in some sense preaching or pastoring or preaching or talking as some type of word from God. I would say that word from God better not contradict the scriptures, or it's not a word from God. Distinguishing truth from false. I think every believer should have maybe some of this distinguishing. Tongues, language. This has been overdone too. People falling out, shaking in the aisles. I don't think that's from God. I think maybe in my own understanding, when you're talking about tongues here, you're talking about somebody. My understanding, at least, is somebody, if I were to go to some foreign country and all of a sudden I'm able to speak that language, that would freak me out. And then if I was sitting there and was able to interpret, I know what he's saying. You know, this Shal Makahai Makahai Ho, I'm not sure about. I would tell you less than it, but that really. I'm not sure those gifts are really in focus. I was at my mother-in-law's church. She knows this. She's left there now. Second or third row. This was back when she was doing the charismatic stuff. I think I was in the second or third row. Not in this church. Check the church in Texas. I heard the pastor get up. He gave an okay sermon. When I say okay, I didn't find anything unbiblical about it. A little out there for me in some areas, Arnold, like I'm just like cringing a little bit, but he preached the gospel, it was okay. And I remember this girl walked forward, and of course he had the drums banging and everything going on, and the girl came forward, and he said, I could hear it as clear as day, he said, "Do you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And the girl said, "Yes." And she's going to faith in Christ. And then he said, "Now do you want to make your salvation sure?" Say, sha-sha-sha-sha-sha. Say, sha-sha. And she went through all that, and she fell on the floor. I'll go with that to a certain extent. if you want to go there. Let's play the game. There was not one person in the congregation who told me what that person said. Therefore, that is not for God. Because there has to be an interpreter that is present. That's what was going on in this church of Corinth. People were shouting like a high, like a high note. Somebody gets up and John goes, I got a word from God, right? And then Bill would stand up and say, I know exactly what he said. But there were people that actually traveled around from church to church that would do that. You stand up and say this, and I'll say this is what it means. That's not for God. As a matter of fact, now that a believer, can't God talk to me directly? Then? He called me a ministry. I kind of still hear his voice a little bit, right? You guys hear his voice. You don't need child like a high, like a high yoke. I know that I may get some letters from charismatic people listeners online, but that's Romans, gifts. There's other gifts. And by the way, just because the New Testament only limits this, I don't think that's the limit. Service, that's helping others, Romans 12:7. Teaching, applying the truth, Romans 12:7. Encouraging, to console, Romans 12:8. Giving, meeting needs. I think most believers have this. I could be wrong. I think that we all are here to meet the needs of somebody. Leadership, administration and ministry, 12:8. There's a bunch of them. Many of you that are much smarter than I, you know exactly where they are. You can go find those. But the fact is, that the supernatural gifts everybody in this church from here all the way down to the front, every one of you have a spiritual gift. No, I am not taking any medication today. Megan likes it when I take medication. This morning. He was drunk up. No, then just my blood pressure, guys. That's all. There's a lot of gifts, guys. Now let me make it personal. I know we've had some fun and people have missed it, which you have to do. Are you serving God? Serving him in this church. Let me ask you another question. Because I love you guys. If you're serving him, this goes back to the original premise that I preached my old master. Why are you doing it? I think the fastest way to uncover where your heart is this. Why am I doing what I am doing? I'm doing this because God called me, obviously. Secondly, because I love people. And I want to make a difference. Now, I think you have to, you really have to answer that because we can get into the competition thing we talked about last night. I think the bigger question is that first question, are you serving him here? I think Dave Walker, he's not here today. I think he told me the other night, there's 100, I don't know, there's 115 ministry positions. Bags go on a guilt trip, but the reality is that you've got gifts that you have been given by God that you have to use. employ them in this church of the body of Christ, because it's kind of like these empty pews. So I don't know why people want to get to understand. But when you don't use your spiritual gift, this is kind of how it looks. God's grand scheme of the picture. By the way, just because you're retired doesn't mean you are retired. God has a gift. I'm very thankful to Dan and Pat when they go down south. They get involved. I hear reports. Some of it's good. They get involved in other churches. They understand. If you're here today and you need a church home, you need to join. You need to become involved in the work of this church. I'm so proud of Ben and Ashley. I just jumped right in. I'd have to say that about everybody. I could pick all of them. And I realize this is the choir. But maybe some of you are not using your gifts. Do it today. Make a decision today that, you know what, Pastor, I'm only using one gift. If you come up to me and you say, Pastor, I think I have a gift. Okay. You're as good as them. Because we need help. And I don't want you to just do something because you feel pressure. I just did that. This was because I think this is important. And if you find out, hey, you know, Pastor cornered me and didn't really want to do it, that's fine. But other than that, if you have a gift and you feel like God's telling you this is the gift, matter of fact, people in this church will confirm that gift. Like, for example, Emma. He came up and said, I've got the gift of compassion. Emmett knows him. Emmett's got a good heart. You guys know that, right? Emmett's got a good heart. Use your gifts. They're supernatural. By the way, I didn't have time to do this, but these are temporary gifts. I think these were temporary, all of these. I think these are permanent gifts. It's a good chart, by the way. Speaking, evangelism, teaching, pastoring, teacher, education. Serving gifts, service, showing mercy, giving, administration, help. I think those are all still legitimate. You can find those in the New Testament. Just do this. Find where you fit and get involved. And use your gift to glorify Christ.